Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Through the words of the Gospel. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today, the 21st Sunday in the ordinary time, the Gospel provides us with a theme: faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, is the foundation of the church. The first reading explains the symbolism of the keys and sheds light on what Jesus said to Peter in the Gospel. But in order to understand this reading well, it is good that we survey a little bit of its background. During the reign of King Hezekiah, the prime minister, a certain Shebna was caught cheating and he was dismissed from office. In his place, the king put Eliakim, son of Hilkiah. Isaiah was pleased with this choice because Eliakim was a fine, capable man. The reading tells us this for two reasons. First, it describes how the office of prime minister was awarded. The ceremony went something like this. The king took the mantle and belt from undeserving prime minister and put them on the new one and placed on his shoulder the key of his palace. And in ancient times, keys such as these were very heavy and had to be carried on the shoulder. They were bulky. Second, to receive keys meant to have full power in the palace of the king, to have authority to minister his property, and to decide who was to be received and who was to be kept out of the palace. Now we should be able to understand why Jesus spoke to Peter saying, "I shall give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So this reading prepares us for the gospel today, whereby Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. That is, he conferred authority on him to govern the church. In this gospel, Jesus begins by asking the crowd who he is. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? Jesus was not satisfied with their answers. Some said, you are John the Baptist. Others, Elijah. Others, Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. So his disciples were merely reporting what had been said about Jesus by other people. Jesus wanted to hear their opinion, what they thought he was. So he wanted to know whether his disciples, especially his apostles, understood him personally. And so he addressed this question directly to them. But who do you think I am? So now he narrowed the target to his apostles, not the entire crowd. And it is only Peter who gave the most correct answer, the profound profession of the Messiah, of the faith in God. And he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, my dear friends, Jesus is addressing the same question to each one of us today, to you and I. Who do you think I am? He's asking you. He wants you to discover him personally. He does not want you to know about him, but to know him. There is a difference between the two. To know about someone and to know someone. He wants you to experience him. He wants to know whether you understand that he has any influence on your life. He wants to know what changes he has your faith in him brought about in your life. So today, Christ is asking you the same question which he asked the apostles. Who do you say that I am? Respond to him with sincerity and courage, as befits a practicing Christian. Say to him, Jesus, I know who you are to me. I know that you are the Son of God, who have given your life for me. I want to follow you faithfully and to be led by your word. You know me and you love me. I place my trust in you and put my whole life into your hands. I want you to be the power that strengthens me and the joy which never leaves me. I know who you are. You are my hope. You are my strength. You are my source and destiny. You are all I am and all I have. You are what I desire to be in this life, a saint to come into eternal communion with you and to part no more with you. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this should be our knowledge of Jesus, our faith in Jesus. And Jesus wants us to be truly convinced of what we know of him and the practice of what we believe in him. However, this faith in Jesus is not and cannot be the product of our effort. It is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. And that's why Jesus responded solemnly to Peter, saying, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus attributed Peter's answer to a special revelation from the Heavenly Father. So faith in God is a gift from him, although we have to cultivate it on our part. Therefore, in order to have a strong faith, a rock-like faith in God, in Jesus, we need the grace of God. And elsewhere, Jesus says, "No one knows the Son except the Father, and only the Father can convey this knowledge." This is precisely what Christ says in his reply to Peter. Therefore, my dear friends, we need always to pray that God may grant us the gift of faith, may increase in us the gift of faith, and make it strong. And with this faith, we shall be able to worship him, to acknowledge him, and to pray as we ought. And then Jesus continues, addressing Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my church." What does he precisely mean by this statement? Here, Jesus is referring to the faith that Peter had in Jesus, in him. The faith that he had just professed. This faith constitutes a solid foundation of the church. It makes it invincible. And all those who, like Peter, profess this faith in various ways, as we have explained above, become part of the building that will never fall. And the expression, "the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it," refers to the forces of evil, all that is contrary to the life and well-being of the people of God. These are the forces of evil. But nothing can stop the church which believes firmly in Christ from accomplishing its mission. Likewise, if you trust in God, nothing can stop you from achieving your goals. And the psalmist, 125 verse 1, reminds us, "Those who trust in the Lord are as secure as Mount Zion. They will not be defeated, but will endure forever." Therefore, my dear friends, we must try to be hard rocks. However, to do this, we need to ask for the grace of God, but also we need to establish the rock within ourselves. Our rock is our actions, our thoughts, our convictions. On this rock, our house is built, so that it may never be battered down by any storm of the evil spirits. If we are the rock, we'll be inside the church because the church is on the rock. And if you are inside the church, the gates of hell will never prevail against us. May God bless you. Amen.